Are you right? Thank you so much, Michael. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit here this morning with us. We thank you for the way that you've ministered to us so far. And just ask that today everyone will go home with something that has touched them in their heart. In your name, amen. Okay, I'm going to talk about how Jesus shows us about being a shining light. It has been a busy time in the Christian calendar so far up into this period. We've had the period of Lent, Palm Sunday, and then Easter Friday with Christ's crucifixion, and then we move to Easter when the resurrection happened. Now we're going into 40 days from now, from when Jesus' resurrection to his ascension, and then at the end we have Pentecost. So much happening, so much going on, and it must have been bewildering and just not knowing what was going on for those disciples and the followers of Jesus at that time. So let's go back and set the scene. For the last week or so, the last weekend, Jesus had been crucified and the disciples were in total confusion and bewilderment. And we go to Matthew 28, 1-20. So Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, go to the tomb with spices to anoint Jesus' body. As there had not been time to do this due to the Sabbath and the body needing to be rested in the tomb before sunset. Mary arrives to see the tomb empty and an angel of the Lord is sitting on top of the stone that has been rolled away. His appearance is like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. Just seeing that in itself would, I feel like I've got feedback, would be freaky in itself. But here the angel of the Lord is there waiting. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel speaks to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go directly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." The woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. So what I want to look at today is some of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. And on the Easter day, he appears to Mary. Greetings. They come to him. Oh, sorry, greetings, which literally means rejoice. They come to him, clasping his feet and worshipping. So even right then, they knew that it was Jesus, when some of the other ones takes a while for people to actually click on. But the Marys know it's him and bow down and worship him straight away. Then Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here Jesus shines his light on these two women who straight away knew who was talking to them and that the message to their follower believers is important and needs to be delivered. I am sure they would rather have stayed at his feet and worshipped him and had a myriad of questions they wanted to ask him. The thing here for me is that he took the time for the Marys to see him as they had taken the time to visit the tomb. We will see over and over again that Jesus is the person of relationship, relationship that he wants to have with us and to show us how to relate to others and shine his love to others. Then this is from Luke 24, 34 and 1 Corinthians 15:5, Jesus appears to Peter. This shows the love that Jesus had for Peter. He had denied knowing Jesus three times, and after the third denial, he hears the rooster crow and he recalls the prediction as Jesus turns to look at him. Imagine that devastating feeling of knowing that you had just done what you said you wouldn't do. Yet through all this, Jesus takes the time, to present himself to Peter. It is not documented what is discussed or what time transcribes, but we can definitely say that Jesus shines his light for Peter to see. We can only think about the things we would like to hear if we had done this. To be told it is well, and that, and this is what I would want to hear or do. And so as Jesus demonstrates this to Peter, this helps him then in his walk to go on and share the gospel and to know that that deep yearning within him that had been the hurt that he had felt, the Lord had come with his healing balm and had come in and actually covered that all up and said, it's fine, this is healed, you are all well. We are on the same footing again. You are my friend, nothing has changed. Then we're going to go to John 20:19-23. Jesus meets with the 10 disciples. Note here that Thomas is not here. They had the doors locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. He shows them his hands and side. They were overjoyed when they saw Jesus, and he proceeds to tell them that as the Father, the Father sent him, he is also sending them out. And he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Here again, he's sharing such a gem with the disciples. He's sending them out. He's given them the Holy Spirit. And he's also talking about how we are to forgive the sins of others. Once again, this is a total showing and mentoring the last few times that he is going to be with his disciples. So they have the keys to be able to go out and spread the gospel and share with everyone that they see. This must have been so daunting for the disciples, as one minute they're locked behind closed doors and then poof, Jesus is saying, go out and tell the gospel to the others with the Holy Spirit. Again, we see Jesus shining that light and modelling. And this is what he's asking of us. He wants us to shine our light. And there are many things that we can do, and it could be just a smile to someone in the street or whatever, but as long as we're listening to the Holy Spirit and hearing what he is saying to us, then, you know, we're on the right track. And you know what? Sometimes we stuff it up. I stuff up all the time. But it's okay. Jesus forgives us and we keep going. So a week later after this has all happened, and now we're going to John 20:24-31, Thomas comes back to the room and the disciples tell him of Jesus appearing to them. Again, the room's locked. Don't want anyone in. Thomas declares, unless I see those nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, imagine doing that. Like, You know, I don't mind gore too much, but that's getting a bit personal. Our faithful Jesus comes a week later through those locked doors again and stands among them so that Thomas can believe. Jesus speaks, "Peace be with you." Then he addresses Thomas. "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out with your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." Jesus then tells him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, it seems like a small thing for Jesus just to come back for Thomas, but this was a pivotal point in Thomas's belief system on what he believed and how he believed. He needed to see for himself, and there's lots of us that are visual. I'm a visual person. I like to see things as well, so I can understand where he's coming from. But Jesus took the time to come back and minister to Thomas and say to him, "It's okay, here I am. See, here are my marks. Here's my side. Put your hand in there. Feel, see that you can see that it is me. I have risen from the dead." The lengths that Jesus goes to visit that close circle of disciples and those that used to travel with him, for them to all realize that he is risen from the dead as he had explicitly told them in Matthew 16:21, Mark 8:31, and Luke 9:22. This was also prophesied in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 16:10. Then Jesus is talking to us that blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So that's a blessing that we get as fellow believers when we take the Lord as our personal Saviour. Because we have not seen him, yet we believe. That's a blessing that is a given to us. So he not only comes to Thomas, but he is speaking to us. We are to shine his presence in us, out in the world that is hurting and needing his grace, love, and mercy. Jesus then appears some more times. Jesus then appears some more times to the disciples. In John 21, 1 to 14, Jesus appears to seven disciples as they're fishing. Then John 21, 15 to 19, Jesus charged to Peter on what he's wanting him to do. And then Matthew 28, 16 to 17, he speaks to the 11 apostles. And then there's also 1 Corinthians 15, 7 to James. Here we see Jesus' graciousness to show and teach the disciples lessons that he is wanting them to learn to be able to go forth and shine for him and equip them to share the gospel. He wants this also for us in our daily life. So just think about, what is the Lord saying to me at the moment? What is the thing that he is asking me to do? Is there something at the moment that I'm really, he's asking me to move in a particular direction? Or as I'm talking to this person, what's the Holy Spirit saying to me? Just being aware of what the whispers of the Holy Spirit. This last few weeks has been a real revelation to me to hang on to Jesus in the midst of trial and perseverance in all that I do. With my back and my hip, it has been a real challenge these last couple of weeks. But I have seen the Lord help me through. It hasn't been easy, but I can see the Lord has got me through. And so that's great. So if we are able to shine no matter what we are experiencing, and sometimes, like I said, I do fail. You know, and when you're in a lot of pain and someone asks you something, maybe you don't quite answer back as nicely as you could have. And then you have to go back and apologize. But, you know, We're human and this happens, like I said. But still, the Lord equips us to handle those situations. And even in the most down times, we can see Jesus shine through the situations we are in. And Luke 21, 28, a reminder that when all these things happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. And I must say, I love my apartment that I am in, and one of the glorious things the Lord has given me and blessed me with that apartment is the view of the Brindabella Ranges. And I just look up there and I know every day that this has been a provision from God of where I live. We're going to move into a song soon, and I just want you, there are words are up, but you can close your eyes, but I just want to go through some of the words in the song. Says, he's the one who has control. Amen. Send down an army to stand by my side. He lights up the path. He shows right from wrong, and he guides me all along. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Thank goodness for that. When I'm walking through darkness, I know in my heart that God is the name that I know. The Lord is my shepherd, yea. He is my defender, Yahweh. He is great, he is strong, he is mighty, yea, that's my God. I can hear him, he's talking to me. He said, praise in the valley, and my hands to the heavens, I will rejoice and I'll sing. He leads by still waters, and when life's like a wave, he's the one who always saves. Always remember, put faith over fear. Faith over fear. So we're just going to play this, and I just want you to think about those words and think about, where's the Lord for you today in this whole situation? You know, are you needing him as your shepherd today more than you do other times? Do you need to hold on to that he is great? He is strong, he is mighty, and then he is there for you. But he's also there for the lost, waiting to hear of him. We'll just leave it there.